What's going on, good people? Adrian Homeboy Holmes here to welcome you to the new season of Super Gamer Book Club. New season? Where's the old season, I hear you say? Well, you can find all the episodes of the old season from our original book club host, Zetch, on our Patreon. And you can also find the newest episodes of season 2 with host me, ding, on Patreon as well. Me, Garrett, and a special guest every month choose a game, and we go over it and talk about it in a shorter, more informal kind of setting. It's almost like we're just hanging out and telling what we liked about the game, what we didn't like about the game, so on and so forth. So we decided this is too cool to sit behind Patreon for all of it. So what we're going to do is we're going to take some of the older episodes and put them out on this free podcast feed for you guys. And if you want to check out the new episodes of stuff that we're doing, you can go and subscribe to our Patreon for only a dollar, and you get the brand new book club episodes when they come out. That's all I got for right now. I hope you enjoy the episode, and I hope you come to see what we have on Patreon. Take it easy and enjoy the show. Welcome back, good people, to episode 20. That's right, 2-0 of Super Gamer Book Club. Can you believe we've been through 20 episodes? Man, over a year and a half.
That's crazy. It's crazy.
Doing this. Crazy. Well, I mean, I guess I have to start off with this is another, you know, it's a little one, but it's a milestone. So thank you, everybody who's been listening to every episode, or if this is your first one, thank you for finally coming in and checking us out. You got a big backlog behind you can go and check out. But anyway, to kind of move things along for this month, the game that we're covering is considered by many as far as games history an all-time classic, and it is Rockstar's Grand Theft Auto Vice City. It is the sequel that is hot off the heels of the revolutionary Grand Theft Auto 3, which introduced many people who play games to the sandbox structure or the sandbox type of games, meaning that you can go anywhere on the map and complete objectives in your own time, pacing, order, whatever you'd like. So this one was developed by Rockstar Games, originally for the PlayStation 2, and it released in 2002. Takes place in Vice City, Florida, aka Miami. It's fictionalized Miami.
It's Miami.
You play as former crime Farrelly family, I guess hitman. I would say Tommy Vercetti. Who's recently played by Ray Liotta, by the way, who is recently released from prison. After doing a 15-year bid for the family.
Tommy Vercetti is recently released from prison, not Ray Liotta.
Well, no, it's not. Ray Liotta is dead. Tommy is released from prison after a 15-year bid and sent down to Vice City to start a new branch of the Farrelly family crime business down there when he is ambushed during a drug deal and has all the Farrelly's money that they gave to him stolen. And the game is about you getting the money back from who stole the money from you or for whoever. That's another one. You have to find out who stole the money from you, get the money back, and get it to the Farrellys, and also set up a criminal empire. So you meet a gang of characters along the way in a ton of different kinds of missions. And this all takes place in a living, breathing sandbox world that Garrett and I are going to talk about. So Garrett, I'll let you start off. Top level impressions. How you feeling about this? This is your first Grand Theft Auto, right?
Yeah, other than playing in the casino in Grand Theft Auto 5, this is my first Grand Theft Auto story, I guess you could say. Top level thoughts. Oof. This is definitely a PlayStation 2 game from 2002.
Absolutely. 100%.
I played on my Steam Deck, which has a very nice emulation, playing at 60 FPS, baby. Ooh. looked real clean.
Those six polygons look buttery smooth.
Absolutely gorgeous. We wouldn't want it any other way.
Tell the truth.
I see, and as I've said similar things in previous episodes about old games, I can see and appreciate at the time just what this game did, you know, or what the Grand Theft Auto games did there at the beginning. Because like Grand Theft Auto 3, Vice City and Liberty City were kind of like big milestones in not only the Grand Theft Auto franchise. Those are like the first three like 3D games that came out, because they were 2D before that. But then also just in the gaming universe with like pushing open worlds and stuff like that.
Right.
So I definitely can see and appreciate and be like, wow, okay. Like thinking back to other games that came out in 2002, we're talking like, okay, like Splinter Cell was around. Right. Metroid Prime came out. The Medal of Honor games were killing it at that time. I was trying to think of more open world games. Elder Scrolls 3 Morrowind was a thing.
Dude, what a year 2002 was.
Kingdom Hearts came out in 2002. What it's not open world, but like
year.
Tony Hawk Pro Skater 4, that was a great game. I enjoyed that. Star Wars Bounty Hunter was another fun one. Like Wind Waker came out that year.
Man, O2 was stacked.
O2 is a lot of killer games, honestly. Burnout 2. No, that's not the one I was thinking. Burnout, what's Burnout? Burnout Revenge. Is that the third one?
That was the PSP one, I think, wasn't it?
Was it the PSP one? I don't know. Either way.
I feel like I played that on PSP.
Burnout was just a fun series in general.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
Spider-Man 2002 video game came out. Yeah. That was an incredible game. But anyways, I don't know. I honestly, looking back and thinking about all the games that came out, this pushed a lot of boundaries and like really expanded the vision of like, oh, this is what you can do in a video game. You can also, like, because of that, it was the first of its kind. It also has a lot of just issues, in my opinion. Like, even though all those other games I mentioned aren't necessarily, like, big, huge sandbox open world and stuff like that, like, they just had such a tighter, like, character development and story and even graphics and stuff like that. Like, mm-hmm. Mario Sunshine looked gorgeous, you know? Metroid Fusion Fusion came out that year as well. Metroid Prime, though, is what I was talking about, like, looked incredible. Like, all these games, like, looked really good and played really good at great stories and all this stuff, where I felt like Grand Theft Auto, because they are pushing the boundaries in other areas, which were very important, but like it just took some of the focus off of those other things.
I think it had to be sacrificed, right? Like
exactly.
If you wanted a living, breathing, miles long world populated with people and sounds and things like that, something had to give, and it was the graphical style.
You only have so many XP points, you gotta allot them where they go. And it's like, all right, we're gonna take a little here, but we're gonna have
our world's gonna be a banger, but it may not look good all the time.
Yeah, 100 different AI, you know, NPCs running around the world that you could possibly run into, and like a bunch of different cars that are just like driving around, like a full, like, you know, like traffic mm-hmm. cycle going on. It's crazy, like on a PS2 game. So it was impressive, but because of that, I guess overall, it was one of those where like, all right, I can appreciate it on the technical side, but on the like any sort
execution.
Of execution, like, well, even more specifically like the story and stuff like that, which, as you know and the listeners know, like it's what I appreciate most in a game. Like, I care less about how it plays to an extent, like as long as it's not fighting me, like I can like most games as long as there's a fantastic story. Like, that's what I love about a game. Cause like, this is my, I have fallen off the bandwagon with TV shows and movies. Like, to be honest, like I could care less. Like, for the rest of my life, I'd be fine with no more TVs and movies. Like, give me stories and games. And so when I get in here and I'm like, man, the characters are like, to me,
caricatures.
I was just like, they are both unforgettable and predictable at the same time. Like, I knew exactly what I was getting into, which again, that was the point. Like, also playing it, my first Grand Theft Auto, I'm like, this is the whole thing of Grand Theft Auto. Every game is like these fun caricatures of things from other media, essentially.
Right.
And so like, all right, like, so right off the bat, I'm like, all right, like I just never felt like I didn't connect with any characters. And then the story as a whole, it essentially was, this guy who's sent to do one thing. And then in the process, he's like, oh, I know I wasn't supposed to do this, but I could take over the city and just run this empire. And like, mm-hmm. so it's like, I've talked about this before. What was it with the Red Dead games and stuff? Like, I'm not necessarily a fan of being the bad guy. Like, that's not my thing. Like, sometimes when, if I'm given a choice in those games, there's like few video games where it's like, oh, be good or bad or whatever. Uh-huh. I always set out like, I'm going to be a bad guy this time. It never ends that way. Like, I get to the end.
I was going to say, and then you have to do your first bad thing. You're like, no, I'm sorry.
Exactly. I'm still, I'm like, dang it. Like, in Fallout, I'm like, I'm going to be the bad guy this time. I'm going to shoot everyone up. I'm going to like steal everyone's stuff. Nope, can't do it. So
meanwhile, you're picking daisies.
Yeah. And so this was kind of, even though like this game, you don't have a choice. Like, you're just a bad guy doing bad things. And so I think by the end, I was like, yeah, I don't know. Like, I just, because of that, I couldn't connect to the character or the story because, and not that you have to connect with every story, but I couldn't even, it was even hard for me to like step in those shoes. Cause that's the whole thing with like experiencing these fun stories and like movies and TV shows and games, is being able to be like, sit back and be like, oh yeah. Like kind of almost like walk in their shoes for a little bit in those like little snippets of their life you see. And, mm-hmm. but like, it was just, A, both so over the top, and B, just like, oh man, this dude's just a bad dude who's a super selfish, and you know, he's a jerk to Vance, and like, you know, all this stuff. Like, so not only did he screw over his original boss, but his new partner who helped him get this empire, he screwed him over too. Like, in the end, Tommy Vercetti's a piece of trash. Like, honestly, like,
now hang on a minute now, because I mean, I guess we can talk spoilers, but you know, Lance screwed him over too at the end. So,
but because Tommy was being a jerk, like he's being an asshole, I mean, dude. Like, fair, he wasn't letting
fair,
him
fair,
in.
Fair.
That's how I was with Vance the whole time. I'm like, dude, like Tommy, why are you being a dick? Like, come on. Like, he helped you. Like, without Vance, you would not have what you have.
But that's the thing about this game, right? Is it's basically a Scarface, except. Except Tommy lives in the end and he wins.
Right.
Unlike Tony. So, and that's what this game is. It's Miami Vice. It's Scarface. It's all the big 80s, you know, big Coke dealer movie, yeah. Hollywood.
Totally.
Kind of made into a game. Kind of not necessarily pushing back, but I think the big thing about this game is it's, granted, there were games with voice acting before and they were, you know, fully scripted and stuff like that. But I think this is one of the games that helped push the narrative of games being able to be cinematic forward. Because if you look at...
They did a great job with that, with like it feeling like a movie and being very cinematic, and like the cut scenes and the voice acting and everything. They did a great job with that for a 2002 PS2 game. I'm like, absolutely. I'm impressed.
The fact that they were able to do that, I think, especially when you look at games now like Grand Theft Auto, like 5 compared to Vice City is almost night and day in the complexity. But they wouldn't have been able to get where they are without starting with, you know, even 3, I think, had a lot of moments where it was you'd seen cutscenes before, you've seen people have dialogue before, but not in this kind of fashion, I don't think. Mm-hmm. At least not to this level of it being done.
Yeah.
One of the big things that I think also people love to talk about with this game, and I, you know, we had to touch on it, was the soundtrack. I think this is one of the best soundtracks to a game of all time. It is.
Yeah.
It is so good from top to bottom. It's better than 3, in my opinion. It's better than San Andreas. Every station, whoever was in charge of picking the songs, just knocked it out every time. Any station you turn to, you can just listen to it from front to back and be like, you never think, oh, I can skip this one. Or you'll just change it to the next station and there'll be a hilarious talk show about, you know, I don't know, Maurice Chavez talking about something. or a psychic helpline or anything like that, you know?
It's wild stuff they came up with, but yeah. Right.
Or political talk radio. It's any number of things. But that's one of the things also, as good as it is, it helps that immersion in the world.
Yes.
You know,
Makes it feel like, oh, this is a real world. This is like,
right.
It really for it's, yeah, it's incredible. Like how that can add so much to make it feel like a living, breathing world. Like we've already mentioned, like the fact that, yeah, when you flip through the radio stations and there is an extensive track list for each station. And then, yeah, these talk shows interspersed in between it. And what's crazy is like when you get out of one car and get in another car, like it doesn't stop for you. It's playing in the background. Like it's playing as if it's a real radio station. So like, right. It's not like it pauses and then picks up right exactly where you left off in the previous car. Like, no, it's like, oh shoot. I missed what he said. Dang it. Like, cause I got out of the car and got back in another car. Just or something like in that. Real life. Just like in real life. Like, I don't know, like everything from what, yeah, the content they chose to the actual, how they implemented it into the game was, yeah, brilliant. But
I think also even back then, I always thought that the actual controls were one of the game's weaknesses, in my opinion. I don't know if Rockstar thought that the default layout that they had was what worked or what they could, what they were able to make happen with the game to make it feel decent to play, because we didn't have modern control schemes, right? You didn't press L2 to aim in and then R2 to fire the trigger. It was just kind of whatever you could find on the controller that makes sense.
Yeah.
And granted, they fixed that with the re-releases. That was one of the few things that they did actually fix.
Now, what version did you play on this time around?
I played the original release on PS2.
Okay. Yeah, that's I played a PS2 version emulated on my Steam Deck. So yeah, so we both played I was curious if you, because you mentioned maybe, because it went on sale literally when we announced we were doing this, the definitive edition went on sale, and I almost bit and got it, but
then you told me, like, it runs terribly on Steam Deck. Yeah, so I'm like, it's nah, like it
runs
terrible.
Runs terrible on PC. Runs terrible on the Steam Deck. I'm like, no, I already have the PS2 version. I'll just stick with that.
Yep, that was good.
Yeah, that was one of the most frustrating thing with the controls was like once you figured out things to an extent, I was like, all right, this is fine. Like swapping weapons with R2 and L2. But the one thing that through my entire playthrough, I could not like get through my head and it never made sense to me is looking around. You can't. I kept trying to use my right stick to look around and it would... It just goes in the first person view. I was like, I don't want to go in the first person view. I just want to move the camera around. And only way to move the camera around is to face the direction you want to go with your left stick. And then the L1 button, then it would turn the camera, whatever direction you were facing.
Right.
And so I was like so many times I'm like, I'm getting shot at. I can't see where I'm getting shot at. But in order to look where I'm getting shot at, I had to stop, turn around, hit the L1 button. And by the time I did that, like I was dead because I wasn't moving anymore. I wasn't dodging bullets. I'm like, why? Like, why can't I? Like, unless there's a button I didn't know about, but I was I want to look around and I can't. Like, while I'm running, I should be able to look behind me.
I have a theory that's probably Rockstar's it's either due to two things, right? It's due to their inexperience with working a system in a 3D world, like they're saying, like, you know, if you have to let the camera swing around, then you have to put different kinds of collisions with it. And I don't know if the engine that they supported back then had the technology to do that.
And they barely probably had enough.
Right. It barely had enough to make sure that Tommy doesn't run through a building or clip through a building. So now you want Tommy and the camera as a separate entity. That might have been an extra load. And then, like you said, also the rendering, I think maybe they only wanted you to face a certain time because Horizon Zero Dawn does that too, where it only renders what is in the frame for the player. Right. So I wouldn't be surprised if this is the same thing here to kind of cut down on the load on the console.
I think it's 100% the same thing here because there was times where there's one of the asset missions where like I bought the car garage and you have to find the cars around the city. You have to do that first list in order to like start making money. And I spent so many hours and hours and hours and hours trying to find like five cars, but it's because I would see it and or even sometimes I thought it was the right car. It didn't end up being the right car, but I would think I saw it. It was driving towards me. It passed me. So I would pull a U-turn and sometimes it'd be there, but there was a couple of times where I pulled a U-turn real quick. It was gone. I'm like, oh, the game totally, like, it rendered it coming at me. And as soon as it went by me, like, the memory was at the PS2 was just like, doesn't exist anymore.
Sorry.
Doesn't exist. And when I turn around, I'm like, wait, there's the motorcycle that passed me, but the other car, the car I need, is gone. Like, where'd it go? I was like, no. Like, that mission took so long because I could not find the cars that they wanted me to find, or they kept disappearing. I'm like, God dang it. It was so frustrating. Right.
So I totally understand then. If that's probably the prevailing hypothesis. I think that makes sense. And I mean, PS2, granted, you're not working with very much in terms of raw horsepower. I mean, for consoles, right, you are, but for a game at that scale, I think you would need to make it run the way they probably envisioned it running. You would need way more than the PS2 could have provided. So,
oh yeah. Yeah.
They're just making the best of the situation of the cards that they were dealt. So, yeah, I think that's definitely one of the things that are a product of their time. And I think they're just a product of Rockstar not really having there was no really like industry-wide blueprint for how, you know, most games work. Like,
right,
today the average game X is jump, you know, square is punch or circle is punch, L2 is aim down the sight, R2 is shoot, things like that. That's kind of like at least the root of every game now, but it wasn't like that because there were no games that did that yet. So
no, at this point, like, it was still the Wild West with most games. Like, you could, I mean, yeah, this is the year Metroid Prime came out, which is a first person shooter, but it didn't have your dual stick, like, movement. Setup,
yeah, right. It's like, that wasn't a thing.
Yeah.
That was like, barely a thing because Halo had just came out. So nobody else had time to catch up.
Right. Yeah. Halo was just kind of bringing that, like, making that a thing. And then, even like Medal of Honor is on here. It came out the same year. I'm trying to remember. I played Frontline. I don't think that had the dual stick yet either. If it
very did, few, it was, very yeah, few very games few. At that time.
But, it's controls are a struggle for a little bit. But then again, it's one of those things like, okay, once I played it enough, like, I figured it out. But yeah, the biggest thing was just looking around. I'm like, dang it. Or even just not having like there's so many weapons. I think that was the other frustrating thing. There's so many weapons you can have in your inventory. Mm-hmm. And so like having this L2 and R2, you're like, click, 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 click. Oh shoot. Wait, go back. Click, click. Okay. There it is. It's just like, I need this gun.
There's no
now.
Wheel.
I need it right now. Like, I wish I could just had like two favorites and then the rest were in a backpack. Like, I don't need access to all of them at the same time. Just give me like my two main weapons. But instead, it was like all the weapons all the time. And you got to click through all eight of them to find like the one you're looking for. I'm like, why? Why would you make me do this?
Yeah. That line of thinking has to come with iterations, right? And with time. Yeah. So, you understand why things like that are missing. One of the things that when we were talking before the show or before we started recording was, you had mentioned that one of your, I guess, I don't know if it's a gripe. You can explain it if you like. The missions you were saying seemed really short in this game for you. Like, you felt like you were just getting into a mission that was just starting to get good and then it would cut off. Do you still see that as a negative, or how you feeling about that?
So, I mean, as far as me just not having enough time in my life to play video games in general, it's not a negative. Because you even said that. I think your rebuttal was like, well, you don't have time to play a long mission anyways. Right. I'm like, touche. But it's like, all right, it's the year's 2002. And like, what more could I possibly expect from them? But I still feel like, I feel like some of the missions were still from what I would like. Again, if this game came out now, which it didn't, so this is totally an unfair judgment, but right, my preference, if I had more time to play games and B, if this was something that like happened to come out now, like yeah, that was one thing I kept running into, like going through missions, was just like, and maybe I felt it more honestly because I actually had more time to play this game recently because of the Steam Deck making it easier. I can play this game anywhere now. Like I don't have to come down to my computer. It's not an event. I can just sit in my bed and play it. I went on a work trip this last weekend. I was out gone for 5 days in Nashville. And so like in the hotel room, I could just chill on the couch and play it for a long time. You know, like I had time to play this game for once, which normally I don't have time to play book club games because I have a family and kids and job and all this stuff. And so I was like, oh, going on the work trip actually gave me more time to play video games at the end of the day.
Right.
What I kept running into, I'll actually talk about the issue here now. The missions were very much like in and out. And again, like there's only so much bandwidth they're working with, like power, you know, in this PS2, only so much space, you know, megabytes worth of space.
Well, not only that, but I feel like design wise too, right? Like
design, yeah.
They were thinking outside of the box in a lot of aspects, but I don't know if they necessarily were thinking, okay, we can make a mission to do this and then it can expand into this and then go all the way across town to do this, you know, like they do today. But
yeah, exactly. Like, and maybe that's now that you mention that maybe that's more the issue, is the missions did not feel fluid. It's not like one led into the next. And it was very episodic, which goes back to what you were saying at the beginning of the episode, though. Like, this is meant to like mimic and almost like pay homage to those 80s like media. Yeah. Movies and TV shows, Miami Vice, you mentioned, and stuff like these TV shows and movies that were popular at the time. And so like, maybe that's more it too, is like,
You start a mission, it does like the little title card before everything starts.
As a little, like the name of this mission, almost like it's an episode title. And then like, but the mission, it's very short, very bite-sized. Like, I think we were joking. It's like, I beat a mission in like 5 minutes and I was done.
Right. I went down the street and shot a guy and that was it.
Yeah. Like that's literally, and I think that's the other thing that blew my mind. Like when I was like, oh, they're going to send me on a mission. I don't know. There should be at least like 4 or 5 objectives or something to do. Some missions had 4 or 5 and then other missions are like, go out there and like kill this guy. And I'm like, okay. And like the mission, like I literally just ran on the street and like, the guy was on a motorcycle. I was like, ran into him. He fell off his motorcycle. I shot him and it's like mission complete. I'm like, that was like 2 minutes flat. Right. Like I'm like, for a while, I'm like, am I playing this game wrong? Am I speed running this game? Like, do I need to slow down? I'm like, no. Like I did everything I could do. I don't know what else to do here. And again, it's just like an abrupt, like end mission complete. And then you're back in like the overworld to do what you want. And then if you want another mission, you go back to the other thing. It's like, man, yeah, I wish either A, there was like a couple of objectives in each mission to like give it a little more like meat. And then, and then the lack of flow, like, which you just kind of like made me think of, just a minute ago, it's like, oh yeah, there's just a lack of flow between missions. It was very segmented, episodic kind of feeling, which thinking about the source material, what they're kind of basing it off of, like, I get it. But from a gameplay perspective, like it didn't feel good to me.
I think we are looking at, and I think a good analogy is like, we're looking at a pond that used to be an ocean. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think there's no like better way to kind of to analogize that.
I think that's a perfect analogy. Yeah. Like back in the day, that was the freaking Pacific Ocean. Like it was massive, it was huge. And then it's like those YouTube videos where they like show the scale of things. And like it keeps zooming out and out and out and out. And by the time you're at 2023 here,
it's like a little
the thing from 2002, like you can't even see it. It's like this, it's smaller than a pixel on your monitor. You're like, okay, all right. Like, so that's, you're spot on with that analogy. Like, that's exactly what's going on here. It's like, this game was like the biggest thing. And now it's like,
dude, I still remember the commercials for it when it came out. It was Welcome to the Jungle. With Guns N' Roses.
Oh.
Yeah, dude.
I'm trying to remember. I'm sure if I saw one, I'd remember it. But off the top of my head, I don't remember
I remember because, it was Guns N' Roses. And then the end of it was like Tommy running with a AR. And I think something was on fire. And there was a chopper overhead. And then it was the end of the song. It was like, it's going to take you down. And then at the end with that hood, it would cut to the logo. And I was like, dude, this game looks like it rules so hard.
That's awesome.
And back so then, it did. Granted, I wasn't supposed to be playing it, but, you know. Who hasn't?
Well, yeah, that was my deal. That's why I never played these until now. Because as a kid, like, I wasn't allowed to touch these games. Like, what?
You just had to wait till you were 30.
Yeah, exactly. The whole game, and it's funny because now I'm playing. I'm like, yeah, I don't really like them that's why my parents didn't want me to play it because they're like, oh, it's just like about like being a bad guy. That's literally the thing. Is like the quote unquote protagonist of the game, the main character is a bad guy or whatever. And now playing as an adult, it's like funny. Like, I don't have any problem with it. Like, don't take this as if I'm like, oh, this is so horrible. Like, this needs to be taken off the market immediately. But it's like very much like is this interesting? Like, I really, like I already mentioned before, but like, yeah, that's an aspect I don't really enjoy because it's just like, all right, you're the bad guy.
To keep it in the Grand Theft Auto verse, I honestly think you would really enjoy 5. I think you like stories with flawed characters, but you understand where they're coming from. And I think 5.
Yeah,
I think 5 has a lot of that. And I think at some point you should go and visit that story because I think that's really well done.
Yeah, that's a thing. I'm not like I think. Yeah, you're right. That kind of
like Tommy is like an out and out thug.
Yeah, he doesn't have a care for anyone. Like, and he's a flawed character, but he's also just evil. Like, he's just bad. Where, you're 100% right. Like, I'm not against bad people, but it's when it's like, yeah, it's more like, oh, some
people
like,
are doing bad things for no reason.
And I think the difference again is this is a 2002 game versus Grand Theft Auto 5 was 2013, something like that. 2012, somewhere 2013. Around there,
yeah.
Like, even in 2012, 2013, like
narrative.
There was much more nuance in narrative. And so it goes from being like, hey, I'm just a thug who's just going to F people up to like, sometimes you just got to do bad things to get by. And like, it's that nuance and those tough decisions. Like maybe they don't necessarily want to do these things, or maybe they do, but there's still like, there's
something about it.
There's more game to tell the story of the inner struggle. And so like, yeah, 100%. Like I'd be totally down to play 5 because I'm sure it has a much better story than this game.
Oh yeah, dude.
Because it has more space. 5
story is phenomenal.
It has more space to do that. It has more room to do that. Where this was like, we just got to get in and out because we don't have a lot of space here.
Right.
Yeah.
I think I'm right there with you. I don't mind the length of the missions in Vice City because it fits my play style these days. Like we were saying, we unfortunately don't have all the time in the world to sit down and play a game in the morning and play it all the way until night, you know? So it's nice to be able to get in and felt like you've made a little bit of progress clearing a couple missions here and there. This is actually a really good handheld game.
Yeah. I
all three of these I think are
really happy. Like had a really good time playing on my Steam Deck, honestly. Like it felt really good on the Steam Deck.
And honestly, it makes sense why they did the 2 on PSP now that I'm thinking about it in this light, because it's the same thing. You can take it out, take out your PSP, play a couple of missions, and then turn it back off and go about your day. Speaking of which, one of the games that was on PSP, I don't know if you had a chance to read it up, Vice City Stories is a prequel to Vice City. And it's about Lance's brother that died and how he ended up hooking up with Diaz. So if you're ever interested to see how that played out, it's there. I know you have a PSP.
Yeah. I didn't know anything about it until, this last week. I played the whole game. You guys, all the listeners will be proud of me. I played through this game without a walkthrough because in the past I've been told like that ruined your experience. The reason I usually use it is because I'm just trying to get through it quick. Like, all right, just like show me the way here. Like whenever I run up against a wall, but until this last week, I had a couple issues. Like we're trying to find those dang cars for the garage. Excuse me. when I was searching for the walkthrough, like I saw that pop up, Grand Theft Auto or the Vice City Stories. And I'm like, oh, what is this? Like at first I thought it was just another version of the same thing. I didn't realize it wasn't until later I realized like, oh, this is a separate game on mm-hmm. PSP and stuff like that. So maybe at some point I'll need to check it out.
It's definitely, a downsized version of it to fit on PSP. Soundtrack is just as good, though. Mm. The game takes place, I think, 2 years earlier.
Okay.
So 84 instead of 86, but soundtrack still kicks. I don't know if they got the same team to come back and do it, but it's definitely one I would recommend you checking out. Same deal. You can pick it up and put it down. Short missions. This one actually has a Phil Collins performance in it.
Oh, really? That's awesome. Like made specifically for the game, or they just got one of his songs?
No, they got him to come in and do like a 5-6 minute concert where he does a couple of songs at a club. It's sick.
Oh, man.
But I mean, that was GTA on top of the world already. So they could, get those kind of pulls and celebrities to come in and do stuff like that.
It's fantastic.
I think that we have sold our case on this game. Did you have any closing thoughts on this one? Let me put it like this. Now that you have seen the foundation of what a GTA game has to offer, and I had mentioned that, five is kind of like the extreme evolution of this. Can you see yourself maybe playing more games in the series after this? Not necessarily older ones, but maybe like 4, 5. I think 6 is about to come out.
Yeah.
I
could definitely see myself maybe dipping my toe into Vice City Stories, like you mentioned, just to at least like get the feel of it. Because if it has a great soundtrack and I did enjoy this world of Vice City, mm-hmm. I might just test the waters of that one for a little bit. As far as like jumping into a full game though, if I was, the next one would probably be 5 or whatever a modern one is. So like if in the next 6 months or a year, like 6 happens to stumble out of somewhere, like
it won't. I'll just play 5.
That's what I figure. It probably won't, but you never know. I think if I do touch another Grand Theft Auto, it's going to be whatever the newest one is, which right now is 5. It'll probably be that. And if I enjoy that one, maybe I'll like, all right, I'll give 4 a chance and I'll work my way backwards. But mm-hmm. At this point, what this is, made me realize, and I've already to beat a dead horse, like, this is an old game and it really shows its age, and it was in some aspects really fun and interesting, and in other ones just it was rough. It was like a lot of times it's like, all right, let's just get this done. Like I'm really annoyed by these stupid controls with the guns, like shooting stuff. Like sometimes it auto locks, sometimes you got a manly aim, and sometimes the camera's looking the way you need to look, and other times it's not. it's
early 3D game design in like the least offensive way that you could say.
Yeah,
you can call something like that.
Yeah. So if I was to touch Grand Theft Auto, the series again, it would definitely be 5. And then again, it would be one of those things where like I slowly just move backwards through the catalog. Like I'm not going to start with any older ones, even because I've heard people say like, oh, this one's great, this one. And it's all these older ones. And I'm like, now that mm-hmm. I play this, I'm like, I don't know. Like I'm a little gun shy now. I might need to go to like the more recent ones.
Go to the pinnacle and be like, oh, just be okay, like, okay, I see this rules. Now I appreciate, what's going on.
Yeah. Because at this point, I'm still not sold on the Grand Theft Auto franchise. Like I said before, I can see and appreciate what this game did for Grand Theft Auto, the series, and for gaming in general. But this did not make me a fan of Grand Theft Auto. Like, I'm not like, heck yeah, I'm going out and buying a freaking, I'm not buying the art book in the walkthrough guide of Grand Theft Auto. At this point, I'm just like, okay, I appreciate what it did, and I'm fine. Never playing another one, but I am interested in a newer one.
So. I would probably implore you then. I would say give 5 a shot. I really think it'll kind of like, I don't want to say like, oh, bring you into the light, but like really let you see what Rockstar's ability is as far as creating a story experience with it. Excuse me, with a Grand Theft Auto game.
I mean, I love Red Dead 1. I haven't played a ton of the second one, as you all know from Super Gamer Boys. But I love the first one. So, like, I know they can do good stories. So that's like when I'm, I am interested, I mean, at least
I guess in just five. To say, like, in this context, right? Like, right. The Old West, Westerns are you can make a really good story with that. But with modern day issues and modern day characters, it's pretty tough to make you a feel for somebody, you know? Mm. So,
yeah,
I would say definitely give five a shot. But also, for everybody who's listening, I would say go back and you know, give Vice City a fair shake.
Just cruise around in a car and listen to the radio, even.
If nothing else, it's worth trying it just for that. But I think, honestly, if you were to try that, if you were to try Vice City, you would at least come away with an appreciation for the impact that it had as far as its openness and the illusion of a living, breathing world. I think if you think about it in that time frame, it was second to none.
Yeah.
So yeah, that will do it for me. I think we've Vice City'd all we can. Now let's go ahead and get out of here before Tommy finds out that we're here without checking in with him,
paying our dues. Right. I'm honestly surprised that, I don't know, I'm looking at the timer. I'm like, oh, I'm surprised we don't have more to say. Like, this is a big game, but it's like we've kind of already, again, beaten this dead horse. Like, it's a big game, but at the same time, it's a very simple game. Like, it's a huge sandbox open world, but it's still a very simple game that's going on here. So it's like, oh yeah, it makes sense. We don't need to talk a whole hour about this. Like, there's
I don't think we need to. Hey, do you remember that one mission where, you know, you had to fly a helicopter? It's like, I don't think anybody's really listening for that specific.
Yeah,
that our take on that specific mission. But
was there a mission though? Was there one mission that you're like, oh yeah, that was actually kind of fun, but like that stood out to you? Like, I only asked this question because I can't really think of one for me that was like, that was a blast. I want to do that again. Like, I don't have that for me, but you played it back in the day. Is there a mission, like just one that you look back on fondly? Like, oh yeah, that was really funny, or that was fun, or that was, you know, a neat thing that they did with the gameplay or whatever. I know a lot of people had gripes with like the remote control helicopter one. I didn't mind that.
In Vice City, it was okay. In San Andreas, it was terrible.
It was bad. Okay.
I don't know why they changed anything, but it was so much harder to pilot in San Andreas than Vice City.
Oh man. I barely made it in time on Vice City. Like I was like right down the wire, but I was like, oh, okay, first try I did. It wasn't so bad.
I think my favorite ones are like stirring up trouble. So for example, like when you have the Haitians and the Cubans.
Oh, he's got to start a war between
them. Yeah. I forget old boy's name, the Texas land developer.
Yeah.
You know who I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I think it starts with an A.
Yeah.
I'd be here all night trying to remember his name. But he always picks you up in the limo.
Yes. Yeah, at the he has all the properties and stuff. Why can't I think of his?
And he's the one that like...
Avery Carrington.
Avery, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's like trying to drive down the cost of property in that area. So he goes, hey, why don't you start a gang war with the Haitians and the Cubans to make everybody want to sell for pennies on the dollar? And he's not the only one that does that. I think there's a couple of other instances.
But that one in particular, though, the Haitians and the Cubans, isn't that the one where like you have to go and like shoot the guy, like you're shooting people up at a funeral, like they're having a funeral or whatever?
How disrespectful can you get?
It's like, oh, and
Tommy doesn't care in the slightest,
and
dude,
you're chasing this hearse around and they're throwing caskets out the back that are loaded with TNT. I'm like, what the heck is this game right now? This turned into like Crash Team Racing or something. Just like following this car, dropping TNT boxes out the back. It's so ridiculous. That was the heaviest duty hearse I have ever seen in my life. I was ramming I was shooting that thing, and it would not bust. Like, it took me so long to finally take that stupid hearse down. But, oh, man. Yeah. Yeah. Straight up disrespectful. Like, Tommy doesn't give a crap
at all, dude. Like,
he was trying to get a funeral. Heck yeah.
Well, I mean, I understand because he's got to get that money back or else they're going to kill him. So makes sense. Oh, yeah. So if that sounded appealing to you, pretty much there is an entire game of that waiting for you in Grand Theft Auto Vice City. So definitely go and check that one out. It's, I don't know if I would recommend the definitive edition. I would say unless you're playing it on maybe a PS5 or a Series X at this point.
From everything I've heard, pretty much every platform it's on, it is still broken. Right. I mean, like even on console, I've heard it's like still like buggy and broken and stuff like that. So unfortunately,
if you can track down one of the original copies or emulate it in some way, the original PS2 version, I would definitely say go for that because that's the complete non-buggy, non-crashy version of the game.
We better stop talking about emulation or Captain Holmes might show up here.
Oh, no. He supports it. He supports it.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. Like, we keep talking about it. He might show up and start, like,
oh, no, he's gone. He's back out on the seas. Yeah.
Okay, all right.
He was just here to celebrate eShop Day, and, you know, it's come and gone, so... So thank you, good listeners, for another episode in the can. Episode 20. That's still a trip to get over. I can't believe we've been doing this for 20 episodes.
Crazy.
Garrett, as always, thank you for, you know, being here for pretty much all 20 of these.
Heck yeah.
Yeah. Do you want to let good people on the internet know where they can find you?
Well, you can find me over on our main podcast that we do each and every week, Super Gamer Boys. You can find it on all your favorite podcast apps or youtube.com/supergamerboys, where you're probably watching this episode as well in 2 months after it comes out, which if you want to listen to it early and ad free, you should support us at patreon.com/supergamerboys to get it the month it comes out. That way you don't have to wait 2 whole months to listen to this for free on YouTube and podcast services. What are you doing? It's at $1. $1.
This audio gold. Free.
So think about supporting us over there. So then you can get this show early and ad free, Super Gamer Boys early and ad free. And there's other perks at some of the higher tiers as well. You know what I'm excited for is to hear what next month's game might be.
This next month's game is going to be a pretty fun one. I think it's a little different. I don't know if we've ever done anything like this on Book Club, but it'd be a nice change of pace. And that, of course, is the, I guess it was originally on Game Boy in Japan, but it came out here first on Nintendo DS. And that is Phoenix Wright, Ace Attorney. The first in the long line of Ace Attorney games that have been originally on Nintendo consoles developed by Capcom. So if you can find a copy of it, which you should be able to, because it is literally everywhere, even on phones. I expect to see you here next month, same time, and we will talk about all the good. And spoiler alert, there's no bad. It's a good game. It's a real good game. So we're going to talk about how good it is next month.
Sweet. I can't wait. That's a good one. I started playing a little bit on my 3DS when I first got it. I was like, I think it was the first game I fired up on there pretty much. Yeah, I got my 3DS and got everything all set up and jumped into some Ace Attorney. Because I, before the eShop shut down, I bought the trilogy. So I got all three.
Smart man.
It's playable and everything. I just looked up real quick on Wikipedia. So this is a PSA. Play the game before you listen to these episodes.
Yeah.
You can play on Game Boy Advance, Nintendo DS, Windows, Wii, iOS, Android, Nintendo 3DS, Switch, PS4, Xbox One. Literally everywhere. So you have no excuses.
None. And it's always on sale. I think it's only like $20 anyway.
Yeah.
Do yourself a favor. That's three games. Because I think they sell it as a trilogy now. So go ahead and play that. And we will see you in a month from now. And until then, take care of yourselves. And we will see you then. All right. Later.
Bye.
And that's a wrap. Thanks for hanging out with us. I hope you enjoyed the episode. As a reminder, if you want to catch any of the new episodes the first Friday that they come out of every month, you can find them only on our Patreon. That's patreon.com/supergamerboys. And don't forget to check out our main episodes too. Those are pretty cool, if I say so myself. All right, we're out of here. Peace.